Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. For the 9th of August, I'm Paul White. On this Friday, we will be adventuring into the 9th and 10th verses of 1 Corinthians 6. These are some verses that have led to some interesting translations over the years. They have a lot of implications, and I want to deal with those implications and translations, and we'll do so carefully in a moment. I also want to make sure that we understand the purpose of these verses and where they lie in context. Before I do that, I want to invite you to our Sunday posting. Every platform where you can find this podcast, you can also find our weekend hour-long, approximately an hour-long sermon that we post from our journeys around the world sharing the gospel of grace. We air a new one every Sunday. We air a new one every Wednesday. The Wednesday is our Flowery Branch, Georgia Bible study from Tuesday nights. We're going through the book of John. Our Sundays are from all over the place. This Sunday is from a trip we took in July to Chapin, South Carolina. Our friends in South Carolina put together a meeting on a Wednesday night. We stopped in and had a meeting that I think was exceptional. Had a wonderful time getting to know people there and seeing the impact that the gospel has made as the Lord has blessed us to share it, that our ministry has made in the lives of people. That was a lot of fun. The message is called Determine What is Valuable. It airs this Sunday. I encourage you, check it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's read the two verses first, and then we begin to dig in. Verses 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, before I go into this at all, I want to make sure, and I know this is redundant because I say this every day, but that's Bible study, is you've got to deal with the redundancies of context. If you don't, you get in the weeds. So I say this again. The context of the chapter is, brothers, what are you doing in secular court suing one another? You have the power to follow the Holy Spirit and listen to His judgments and dictates, and you're allowing people who don't know the Lord to show you answers that only the Lord can show you. Paul does not break away from that to go into a diatribe about what's wrong with the Corinthian church. Paul does not break away from that to go into a diatribe about what's wrong with unbelievers. Paul is not on a diatribe. Paul has not broke away. Paul is on the same theme. Why would you allow unworthy unbelievers? Those are words Paul used. Paul uses the word unrighteous. Paul uses the word unworthy. And Paul uses the word unbeliever. Unrighteous, verse 1. Unworthy, verse 2. Unbeliever, verse 6. A lot of uns. The Corinthian people are righteous and worthy and believers. Those whom they're going to court to have judged them are unrighteous, unworthy, unbelievers. And Paul says, don't you know that unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom? So it's not a diatribe. It's not an aside. It's Paul describing to the Corinthians that they are asking people who do not have an inheritance in the kingdom to judge people who have an inheritance in the kingdom. By referring to the Corinthians as brethren, he's putting them in the family, and family members receive an inheritance, and they are co-heirs with Christ. By going in front of unrighteous, unworthy, unbelievers, they're going in front of people who have no rights of inheritance to judge people who have the rights of inheritance. It's like asking someone who has no vested interest in the inheritance to come into the courtroom and determine for those who have the inheritance what they get to do with the inheritance. You would say to that person, You don't have a right to tell me what I get to do with my inheritance. It's not your inheritance. And that's the point Paul is making. Don't you know the unrighteous don't inherit the kingdom of God? Now, what does it mean to inherit the kingdom of God? If for you, inheriting the kingdom of God means die and go to heaven, then you have some ready-made stuff in the 9th and 10th verse to tell people that if they're doing these things, they won't die and go to heaven. But I don't think it's too far a stretch to say Paul doesn't say a word about dying and going to heaven. Paul has not diverged his context to suddenly talk about life after death. For the Apostle Paul, the inheritance of the kingdom is not something you walk into when you die. The inheritance of the kingdom is something you walk into when you come alive in Christ. When you resurrect into a newness of life, those are Pauline words from Romans, into a newness of life, you are in a new kingdom, you are in a new inheritance. Unbelievers don't walk in the inheritance of the kingdom. Why not? Because they are not believers and righteous and worthy. What are they? They are unrighteous, unworthy, unbelievers. So Paul says, don't you know that those unrighteous don't have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. You have a full inheritance. Why would you go in front of people who have no inheritance to tell you what to do with your inheritance? So don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, etc., etc. And there's a wide range of stuff going on here, though we get lost in the last few of verse 9, which is fornicators, idolaters. We really get in the weeds here. Adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites. We don't give a whole lot of attention to thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners that don't inherit the kingdom because we're so stuck in the adulterers, homosexuals, and sodomites, the sexual impurity passage, which remember, started way back in chapter 5 and will extend into chapter 7 where Paul's been talking about sexual impurity. And the sexual impurity that he mentions in chapter 5 has to do with a man committing incest with his stepmother. And the sexual impurity he will go on to mention in chapter 6 will have to do with fornication, particularly with prostitutes. And the sexual immorality he has to do with in chapter 7 will have to do with fornication of people who he's encouraging them to get married, and we'll talk all about that when we get into the 7th chapter. And so that leads us into this, into the depths of verse 9. Now, there's a lot of things happening in the Greek here. I want to give you some homework tonight before we dig into the Greek words that are used in the 9th verse. I want you to go read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 in the King James, okay? The old King James Version. And I want you to see what that looks like. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9 in the King James. Take a look at it in the New King James, which is what we typically read from in these passages. Take a look at it in the ASV, the American Standard Version. And go ahead and take a look at it in the Message Bible. And now the Message Bible is not a translation from the Greek, but an interpretation. Take a look at those translations. That's not an end-all kind of thing. I'm not giving you homework to go, this is where you're going to find the answer. I want you to see some differences. I want you to see some variants. And we're going to dig into tomorrow as to why those variants are there. And the reason, I'll give you a hint, the reasons why the variants are there, and this is almost always the case when you look at cross-translations and there's variants, is because you're dealing with a difficult translation. It's not as easy as we think it is. And that's why the translations come up with something different, all the way down to the King James. And you're also dealing with words that, in some cases, we use that the world of the Greek didn't even know existed. Those words weren't even words. So we're going to get into what this text might be talking about. We'll do that tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.